This is my my very, very first podcast recording in my newly redone basement.
Nice.
So nothing is soundproofed correctly, and I hear every move that my stupid little dog makes upstairs. Now I know where all the squeaks are in my kitchen.
Hi, my name is Jeff Martin from Lopan, and you're listening to my chapter of As the Story Grows.
Perfect.
What would you say you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Man being realistic.
As the story grows.
You got this, Travis. Make him wait for it. Boom.
Head west to a home beyond the deep. Back out the sun as you go. Take down your banners and be silent now. Revise the vows you made. Yeah, every word that you know. So step heavy for to live has been a sweet. Buying nothing on that bloody shore. Overcome by the pendulum sea.
So how you doing?
Just fine and dandy. How about yourself?
Fine and dandy. Fine and dandy? I don't know. I'm fine. I don't know that I've achieved dandy. You know?
You should try to get to dandy.
How does one achieve dandy?
You just keep killing it. Eventually you get there.
So I met this young man out on the road when I was hanging with Zayo. Running, I helped him out and ran some merch for him. And I ran into you at the Emerson Theater in Indianapolis. After Zayo took me out, I ate a burger the size of my face. It's pretty amazing day.
That was at Kuma's, correct?
Yeah, Kuma's. Shout out to Luke and Sarah. Hello. And Eric, the chef. I think his name was Eric. They were all rad people.
I kind of have an inside joke about Kuma's with a friend of mine. Because there's a Kuma's in Chicago and there's a Kuma's in Indianapolis.
Right.
And I've never been to either one of them, but okay. one of my best friends and I, we constantly check in on Facebook at Kuma's, no matter where we are. And
why?
Just, I don't know. We went to Chicago together once and everyone was like, you should go to Kuma's. So now everywhere we go together, we're just like, yeah, we're at Kuma's. And so nobody really understands the joke. So every time I check in there, someone's like, have this. You got to have this burger. You got to have that burger. And I'm just like, okay, well, I'm not going to have that burger.
You should just check in, constantly say that you're having a salad or some, like, you had to leave because you couldn't find any vegan options or something like that.
Well, we go to different restaurants sometimes and we'll check in at Kuma's still and take pictures of the food we're eating that they don't even serve at Kuma's, like a Chinese restaurant or a breakfast restaurant. And
you're a sarcastic asshole, Jeff. We're going to get along just fine.
Yes, I am.
Oh,
So I wound up sitting next to you for like an entire set or two of the bands that were playing previous, and we got to talking, and I said, "Hey, man, you want to be on the show?" And you said, "Yeah, I'd love to be on the show. Thanks." And when we exchanged phone numbers, I noticed that you had a 215 area code. You're originally in just outskirts of Philly, boy.
Actually, I'm originally a West Virginia boy.
Okay.
That's how I met the guys from Zao, was that I grew up in the same town as where Zao was formed originally, Parkersburg, West Virginia. So,
okay.
I kind of grew up around and knew of Jesse Smith and became a friend of his, and I was in a band in that town for a while, and Jesse recorded a few of our albums. And
what was the name of that band?
That band was called Porous, P-O-R-O-U-S. Just met Jesse playing around town, and at that time he was definitely like, the guy of any of us in the music scene there that was, accomplished in any way, shape, or form. They had, when I was in high school, I knew of Zao, and a couple of friends of mine were pretty close with Jesse, and we ended up starting a band after high school, and so that's how I met them. But then in like 2003, 2004, I moved to Philadelphia for a job.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how I just never really changed my phone number when I moved to Columbus, which is where I live now. So
gotcha. What did you come out to Philly for?
I got hired at a company in Princeton, New Jersey. Okay. And a friend of mine was living out there. A friend of mine from junior high school got me hired at a company, and moved out there, and then I moved into Center City, Philadelphia, and lived there for several years. And
right on.
Yeah.
I see many records behind you. I assume you went to Princeton Record Exchange.
Never went to any record stores in Princeton. I wasn't really collecting a lot of records back then. But there was a really good record store in Philly. It was the Relapse store that used to exist there.
Sure.
And I used to go there quite a bit. That's where I got my first.
I never went to that.
Yeah, it's closed now, but that's where I definitely caught the record collecting bug for sure.
Right. Cool. All right. So you moved to Philly for the job, and then you're in Columbus, Ohio now because of work, and then Lopan, or you moved to Columbus, Ohio for Lopan?
No, not really. I just I grew up in West Virginia, and everybody I knew was from there. Basically, the friend that brought me out to Philadelphia had moved to California for a job, and I really didn't know anybody else in the Philly area. I wasn't really playing music anymore. I was just kind of like not super happy about living in Philly. It's a pretty big metropolis of a city, and compared to where I grew up, especially. And I wanted to move closer to home, but I didn't want to move back to West Virginia. So I knew a bunch of people that lived here in Columbus, including the guys from Lopan.
Mm-hmm.
And, I had already joined the band. I was kind of traveling back and forth from Philadelphia to Columbus, which is not an easy, an easy drive. It's about 7 hours one way. I had already decided to move to Columbus anyway, but the band was just kind of an added thing.
Dude, you were commuting from Philly to Columbus for the band?
Yeah.
14-hour round trip to show up and sing?
Yeah.
Damn.
For about 6 months, yeah.
I think they could have just skipped the vocals and just tightened up on the music, man. Jeez. That's rough. That's a lot of driving. That might be the furthest one I've heard yet.
Oh, I know a lot of people that commute further than that. Like, I know there's, I don't know if you've ever heard of the band Torch.
Yeah.
Two of the guys from Torch now live in Los Angeles. One of the guys that's not even in the band anymore, but he was at the time when he was in the band, he was living in Atlanta.
Andrew, and their drummer, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and their drummer lives in Gainesville, Florida. So,
right.
As of today, two of the guys live in Florida, two of them live in L.A., and they still function. It's just
good point. Yeah.
How you juggle it,
Yeah, sounds expensive. Yeah, man. So tell me about the whole Lopan thing and how this all started. Because as I was saying before I hit record here, I actually don't really know anything about Lopan. I just know that Scott And everybody from Zayo spoke very highly of you guys. They were like, dude, if you like Torch and Jeff has an amazing voice, you should check their band out. And when I was going through your merch, your 10-inch, your latest release is a 10-inch, and it's called Intentions. And the artwork and everything about the packaging and everything caught my eye. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy this on a whim. I have to. And I'm really impressed with it. I really like it a lot.
Well, thanks, so, man.
Yeah, you got it. So that's why you're here. So give me the background on how you got into this.
Well, when I was in West Virginia, I was in a band, and I thought we played a lot out of town. You know, really, it was more regional. You know, we came to Columbus a few times, and that's how I met Jesse, which is the drummer from Lopan, and Scott, who was the bassist for Lopan. They were both in other bands, and we traded shows with them a lot, and they were always, you know, a couple of guys that I was really kind of blown away by the level of their talent. You know, Parkersburg, West Virginia is not a big city, and there's a pretty shallow talent pool for musicians there. There are definitely some talented folks there, but not to the level of the people that I encountered here. So
right.
I met them, and when I moved to Philadelphia, I stayed in touch with Jesse, and we had talked about starting something, but at that point I was kind of entrenched in a job and, you know, 7 hours away, and mm-hmm. Wasn't really looking to join another band, but we stayed in touch for a couple of years, and Lopan had a different singer before me. They had gone on for about 2 years, and they decided to replace that guy, and Jesse contacted me again and said, you know, I know you're not happy there. Why don't you come over for a weekend and see what happens? So I drove out there for a weekend and, or out here for a weekend now, and wrote a couple of songs, and it felt really good. And that's, you know, I had already kind of been kicking around the idea of moving to the Columbus area, and mm-hmm. that just kind of sold me on the whole thing.
Okay.
So, you know, we started, you know, touring pretty right away. You know, Jesse and Scott were always kind of road guys. Jesse, especially. Jesse's very driven to travel. And at that point, I was working in offices, which is not an easy sell sometimes to get out of an office for, you know, weeks at a time.
Sure.
We started out, you know,
I never
doing.
Figured out how to do it.
Yeah, we started out doing, you know, weekends and then long weekends and then weeks, and there was a couple of jobs that I ended up leaving actually to go on tour, and I, at a certain point, I decided that's probably not a great long-term strategy for me, so I ended up, you know, finding jobs that were that I could work from home, and you know, then I could work on the road. So that's what I do now, and it definitely helps to go on the road and still have the money coming in, you know. So
sure.
That's,
well, yeah,
the biggest.
I mean, it's like the only way people can do it nowadays. What do you do that is I actually love this. I think people think that them talking about their job is boring, but I'm always fascinated on the juggling act and the plate spinning on how people are doing 15 things to pay their bills and still tour. Like I said before, I never figured out how to do it.
Well, luckily I only have to do one thing to juggle to pay the bills now. But
okay,
I work for a pretty major cybersecurity company as a recruiter, and I've been in the recruiting field for about 12 years. But, you know, I work here at my house in Columbus. My job is centered in Silicon Valley, and, you know, I have a laptop and a nice set of headphones that I can use and make calls in the van if I have to. And, you know, anywhere I can get an internet connection and use my phone, I can pretty much do my job. So I've been doing that for the last, you know, 7 or 8 years. So it's,
right.
It makes it much more streamlined to go on the road for a long period of time. So when
yeah,
we go
definitely.
Out of town for a month or a month and a half, it's like, you know, I don't have to worry about not having a job when I come home, which is always nice.
Me.
What do the other guys in Lopan do?
Scott is a pizza delivery guy.
Okay. That's flexible.
Which he hates to no end. But he's a hell of a hard worker, and he's one of those guys that's impossible to replace, so they keep letting him come back. Jesse is a maintenance supervisor for a company on the west side of Columbus, and they're pretty flexible with him. Our new guitar player, Chris, he works for an industrial vehicle sales company that his father owns, and his dad's pretty flexible about letting him get away. So we all have a pretty solid situation right now in terms of traveling, which is always a good thing.
Again, I think that's fascinating that let alone you find one person on how to do it, but an entire band and all three, four, five members or whatever it is all trying to figure out how to do it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot to keep in the air.
Yeah, I don't think this band could function very well without traveling as much as we do. We travel more than a lot of bands. I mean, there's certainly bands that travel more than us, but try to get out three or four times a year and just for as long as possible. You know, if we get picked up on a run of shows with, you know, a larger act or, you know, whatever it is, then it's nice to be able to pick up and go when we want to.
Right. So let's talk about... I just flaked on the name. Intentions. Let's talk about Intentions and... That's the latest EP that you have. You guys have a whole smattering of releases. It looks like a single here, a full length record here, an EP here, but the most recent thing is Intentions. So that's on. I'm trying to pull up my information.
It's on Aqualam.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that one we had a different guitar player when we recorded those tracks and wrote those tracks. He was in the band for about a year, and he decided, after traveling a few times, he decided that his home life was such that he really couldn't take off that often anymore. We recorded eight songs for that and ended up putting out five. We put that out on Aqualam Records out of Brooklyn. Prior to that, we were... on a label called Small Stone Records from Detroit.
That's what I was looking for, Small Stone.
Small Stone is a pretty well-known kind of stoner rock label. That's where we, when our second record came out, we put it out on Small Stone. And, you know, Scott Hamilton is a guy who owns Small Stone. He's a really great guy and helped us out a lot. Scott had a pretty catastrophic flood out of the office that he... run Small Stone, so he has pulled back in the last couple of years. That's why we decided to go with a different label, just because Scott was kind of preoccupied with a lot of different stuff. But it looks like they're getting back on their feet now and starting to put out records again. But they put out, you know, just a slew of well-known bands, and Intentions has been out for a little over a year, and it's been doing pretty well, and we still play a lot of those songs, but we're also writing new stuff, and we've got about seven or eight songs for a new record ready to record.
Oh yeah, are you aiming to go back to? You just said the label's name, and I forgot it again.
Back to Small Stone? I seriously doubt it.
Okay, you gonna stay with Aqualam?
I believe so. I'm sure we'll look around and see what other options are available, but I think Aqualam does a good job of promotion, and they're really good guys, and we'll just kind of see what the best course of action is.
The first three tracks on Intentions was mixed by John Nunez. That's the dude from Torch, right?
Correct.
How'd you hook up with them?
Torch came through Columbus in 2005, the first time we played with them. And, you know, we've played with them several times, toured with them a couple of times, and just kind of got to know them playing shows. They're really good guys.
Yeah. Like them a lot.
And the other two tracks of that on Intentions were mixed by a guy named Mike Dean. Mike Dean plays bass for Corrosion of Conformity.
No way. It says mixed by Ryan Haft.
Ryan Haft is a guy who works in a studio that John Nunez owns.
Uh-huh.
And he's also in a really killer band called Wrong.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't call him Ryan. Nobody calls him Ryan. Everybody calls him Chooch.
Wrong is the guy who replaced Andrew. Well, no. Became the bass player, and John is now playing guitar, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What an incestuous little bunch you all are.
The rock world is a very incestuous group.
Yes, indeed it is. Your Facebook page is very sarcastic. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, yeah.
I don't know what that is. I don't know if I want to go into a lot of detail on my Facebook page. It's kind of a ridiculous place.
It kind of is. Artists we also like. Caius, Black Sabbath, your face. You bunch of dicks. We formed, we play, the end. That's your bio. Like, what the hell am I supposed to talk to you about when you have a bio like that?
It's a pretty good bio.
It's pretty good. To the point.
I don't even think you can call us stoner rock anymore, honestly. I don't think we are. fact that I think the band really draws from a lot of influences individually. You know, we don't really come from the same place musically. We don't really listen to music in the van because nobody can agree on what to listen to because we all like different stuff. Jesse's very hardcore. He grew up in the DC area and he's kind of a DC hardcore kid. And
okay.
Scott's like super into like Unsane and Helmet. And I don't think there's a lot of bass players out there that can do what Scott does. He kind of has that second guitar feel in his bass, but he holds it down. You know, he's a very gifted dude. He's probably, Jesse and Scott are definitely the two of the most gifted musicians I've ever played with. And Chris comes from a more of a post rock or a kind of metal feel. And I grew up listening to like Motown and shit like that. So I didn't get into heavy music until much, much later. So
really?
Yeah. I used to hate AC/DC. I used to hate Black Sabbath. I used to hate all that shit until I grew up and actually started listening to it.
Really? So as a kid, you were like, you heard rock and weren't into it?
Yeah. I grew up listening to a lot of pop music, a lot of radio stuff, a lot of MTV, you know, Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
ABBA.
Right.
But, you know, I think that struggle, that fight for genre dominance is what kind of ends up as our sound. I don't really know what our sound is or how it works all the time, but it's usually a struggle to write, and then it just kind of comes out however it is, and then I do my thing on top of that. So I don't know if there is a genre that you would call us. I don't really care about genres, to be honest with you. I think we're a solid band. I think we have a lot of talented people in the band, and it's sometimes hard to classify what we put out. And I think that's a challenge when you're trying to play for as many people as possible. You know, we've certainly had some success playing with, you know, getting some larger tours and being on some larger shows, and that's great. But I think there's a lot of people commercially that don't really know what to do with us.
Right.
I think we're not heavy enough for the heavy music people, and we're not commercial enough for the radio people, so that's fine. I mean, I think we do all right over here in our own lane, and it's been pretty fulfilling so far. So
looking at some of the bands that you've toured with, even when everybody just does short runs anymore, you know, but like you said, you're out on the road a lot and you pick up what you can get. You guys seem to have a very varied group of bands that you've played with. Like for instance, I met you opening up for Zayo. For crying out loud, it doesn't get heavier than Zayo. You know what I mean? And you guys also play with bands that are like, that make you sound like the heavy band, you know? And it isn't necessarily the like the DC post indie thing has like a vibe to it. Metal, they all kind of stick together and that kind of thing. And then there's just these certain bands that just seem to fit everywhere with everybody. And you guys definitely fit their bill.
I think there's a lot of bands that are more open to touring with diverse bands because they care what happens to their audience. You know, who wants to go to a show and listen to four bands that sound exactly the same? I don't.
Dude, couldn't agree more.
So, like, when we toured with High on Fire and Goat Whore, that couldn't be more of a diverse bill. I mean, us, High on Fire and Goat Whore, those are three very different sounding bands. But
very.
If you talk to the guys in those bands, they're happy about that mix, because then, you know, it draws a bigger crowd that way. You know, you've got a nice cross section of bands that might draw people that have never heard this, that, or the other genre.
Mm-hmm.
And they maybe are exposed to something that they would never have given a chance to otherwise. So
sure, definitely.
Those are the kinds of tours that I think we do best on. You know, that one was a 6-week tour. We've toured with Bongzilla, we've toured with Black Cobra, we've toured with the Atomic Bitchwax, we've toured with Torch, we've toured with all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is just about going out there and doing, you know, kind of representing your shit. And it doesn't matter if it's an exact genre fit. I think most promoters, and I mean, we're on a booking label with just a vast array of bands, and that's, you know, we toured with Weed Eater and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have smart booking people who are looking at all the bands that they have on their roster, and they're saying, you know, these three or four bands and throw them out there, they're going to get along anyway. And
true,
it's just about like matching them up to where the audience is happy. And if the audience is going to go to the show, if they're going to pay for a ticket, then it doesn't matter if it's a genre fit, I guess.
I think
like heavy metal is the only genre you really see where they stack the bands as closely as possible to sound just like the headlining band. I don't know.
Ugh, I know, and it's so
I've never
boring.
Really seen, like that night we played with Zayo. You know, the only reason that whole thing happened was because Scott asked us if we were interested in doing some shows, and
because mm-hmm.
I've known Scott for a while, and you know, been into Zayo for a while, and he likes Lopan, but if you looked at the other bands on that bill, they were all much heavier than us.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of more closely aligned with Zayo, and that's cool. But you know, I get lost in that shit. I get bored when it's just like one thing after another that's completely the same. I don't know,
dude. No, I'm with you. Like those hardcore festivals, man. It's just like it's like listening to Wisdom and Chains 14 times. You know what I mean?
Like I have some friends that went to the This Is Hardcore Festival in Philadelphia recently, and that's mm-hmm. a huge festival with a lot of bands, and probably the top five of them I would love to see, because they all kind of are driving a different voice within that genre.
Right.
But then the lower bands on the bill, the ones that are coming from kind of influences from those headlining bands, then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you get a lot of copycats, and I'm just like, I'll be back when the other music starts, because I'm lost. Like I don't want to sit there and listen to 20 bands that sound exactly the same. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I think the one that I'm actually not really into it as much, but the one that I really see that happening a lot is this new, like the groove that Meshuggah dug for everybody, and now all the Degent stuff just sounds like here's another band that isn't Meshuggah. Here's another band that isn't Meshuggah, and then Meshuggah.
There is no band on the planet that sounds like Meshuggah.
That's what I'm saying. It's all like Meshuggah light. There's a little subdivided chun 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 chun, and other than that, it's kind of like, oh god, just get to the good stuff, you know.
There's some good bands in that genre for sure. Like I'm friends with the guys from Intronaut.
Oh, I love them. I love Intronaut.
Really great band, and you know, like Animals as Leaders and those bands. There's a lot of bands in there I could just take or leave, but you know, I've seen there are some innovative bands in any genre I can grab onto, but when it becomes derivative, when it becomes sort of a copy of a copy, then I am kind of just standing around like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Exactly.
Calling on you.
You mentioned while we were getting set up for this thing that you were working on with another band.
Yep. A couple years ago, Jesse was having a baby, and I don't have babies. So I reached out to a friend of mine who was actually Chris, who is now in Lopan.
Okay.
And asked him if he was interested in getting together and writing some tunes, just kind of keeping it real light, keeping it real fun with some guys here locally. If we could find some guys that were like-minded and talented who wanted to get together and write sort of a different feel of music. You know, I was looking to go a little bit more ethereal, a little darker genre-wise, and, you know, still keep it melodic vocals, but a little heavier music, a little different feel.
Okay.
And Chris and I got together with three of our friends, and that band's called Akula, and we just recorded our first 4-song demo. That's 4 songs at about 45 minutes.
Whoa.
Each song's about 9 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's fun. It's a lot different feel. We're not really looking to tour a lot. It's just,
right,
you know, like I said, a fun atmosphere thing where 4 friends get together and have fun making music. Whereas, you know, you play in a band that tours a lot and puts out records and tries to sell them and stuff like that. It becomes more of a business, I think, pretty quickly. And
yeah,
some of that stuff is not exactly what I would call entertainment. So, but no, you know, Akula is a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to getting that stuff finished up and putting that out for people to hear.
Yeah. Are the demos that you recorded, are they listenable yet?
Yeah, I could probably send you some stuff to listen to. It's not mastered. We're just going through the mixing process now. But yeah, it's pretty listenable.
Oh, boy. Here we go. World premiere. Akula.
Well, not here. Not here right now. But we did it at the same studio where we recorded Intentions with the same engineer and a guy named Joe Veers. And Joe's a really talented guy with a lot of really cool stuff and a lot of ideas to share, and he's a lot of fun to work with. So
sweet.
It was kind of a no-brainer to go there to do it.
Nice. That's cool, man. Are you guys, does Akula play out?
We have only played 3 shows. We've been together for almost 2 years, and we've only played 3 shows. We're all in other bands.
Sure.
And it took us probably about a year to get to the point where we had 4 songs ready to play out.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty complex songs. They're pretty deep, and you know, just one of those things where you kind of got to take the time to learn the material. And then it's a little different for me. It's a little bit of a challenge to write for that stuff. It's a little different, not as much groove, more of a, you know, a lot of parts, a lot of shifts, a lot of odd time signatures and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So it took me a while to figure out how to write for that stuff, which is interesting, but I think it's coming out pretty nice.
Lopan grabbed my eye before anything, because I actually never heard a Lopan song before I heard you guys, before I saw you guys play in Indy, or at least I don't remember if I heard you guys or not. But you guys had such a roving selection, like a huge expansive selection of artwork and posters, and mm-hmm. and really caught my eye. You guys really put some serious time into like all the artwork and everything. I actually bought one of your posters. Who steers the ship on that end of it?
All of us. It's really, I mean,
okay.
we usually have an idea and then we throw it out to one of a couple of artists that we like to work with. And
okay. It's not like one of you were the painter or anything, right?
The first album that I was on is called Sasquanaut.
Mm-hmm.
And the original version of that we put out that later got re-released on Small Stone, Scott drew the artwork for that one.
Okay.
You know, for the most part, we tend to outsource the art. It tends to flow a little better that way.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on with Lopan next? You said you had you were working on about 7 or 8 songs and
working on a bunch of stuff. Then I think we're going to do a small run, probably 2 weeks or so, in November. We're going out to California to play the opening weekend of Ozfest with Monster Magnet and Bramp Bjork.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. How'd you go up with Ozfest?
They asked us. I don't know.
Wow.
It's it's like the opening weekend for all the people that are ticket holders that are camping out there. There's like an amphitheater in San Bernardino where we're going to play with Brant Bjork and Monster Magnet and a band from LA called Sasquatch.
That's killer. Wow.
Yeah.
Ozfest is a pretty cool thing to have on your resume, right?
Yeah, not too shabby.
If you don't have anything else to promote or anything, I mean,
not really. No, I think we've talked about everything that I'm selling. So
everything you're selling. All right. So you got the lowpandemic.com is the band's website.
Yes.
And I'll put the Facebook page on there and everything. What's the name of your other band?
Akula.
Does Akula have anything online?
Not yet. We're still working on getting some stuff online.
Okay. All right, cool. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
You got it. Take care, buddy.
All right, later.
nice and clear.
As the Story Grows is a part of Lavera Productions.
High five. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook at As the Story Grows and visit the site at asthestorygrows.com. Make sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss anything. Visit the Bandcamp link in the notes of this show for free cover songs, some free tunes, and merch. If you like what you heard and would like to help, there's a Patreon link on every episode, or you can look for the dollar sign on the website for one-time donations. If you can't afford to donate, that's totally okay. Tell a friend, retweet me, and give me a good rating on iTunes. Send your guest requests and any feedback for the show to asthestorygrows@gmail.com. And thank you so much for listening today.
We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.